Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for recording in your word this chapter and telling us that it was the faith of these people that made the difference in their lives and helped them through all different kinds of situations. As we look particularly at Abraham today, help us to understand the impact that faith made upon his life, that it may have the same effect for us. I pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember that question that Pilate asked, what is truth? Well, I want to add the definite article, and I ask this about Abraham. What is the truth about Abraham? Let me explain. Paul said we are not justified by works. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. He said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 9, not by works, lest any man should boast. And in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, not by the works of righteousness which we have done. And then he used Abraham as an example. Romans chapter 4, verse 2, he says, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. James then said, we are justified by works. James chapter 2 and verse 24, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And James used Abraham as an example. Was not Abraham our father justified by works, he said in James 2:21. It disappoints me and a lot of so-called Bible scholars that they don't understand how James and Paul are talking about two different things, but they actually agree together. These two things do not contradict each other, and here's why. James is not referring to the works of the law. Would you go to James chapter 2 with me for a moment? James chapter 2, verse 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. In each of those five verses, James uses the word law. And he speaks to the law, verse 8, if he fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. Verse 9, but if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. And on he goes through five consecutive verses, he talks of the law. But then when he comes to verses 14 through 26, and he's talking about Abraham and this matter of being justified by works, he never mentions the word law once. Let me say this about what James is talking about. There is in the Bible what is called a work of faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Now these works a man does after he makes a profession of faith. These are the works. This work of faith are the works that Christ created us for in himself, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Remember Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And these are the works that James is talking about. These are the works a man does after he makes a profession of faith. Now, in James chapter 2 and verse 14, he says it's one thing to profess to believe. What doth it profit, my brethren, verse 14, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? A man makes a profession of faith. But how can we tell if this profession is real or his words are empty? I think sometimes we declare people born again a little too early. Just because they make a profession of faith doesn't mean they actually have a possession of eternal life. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through 20. You'll recall this, I think. Ye shall know them by their, what? Fruits. What does he mean, ye shall know them by their fruits? Well, when a person makes a profession of faith, there ought to then be evidence in a person's life that that profession is real. Abraham had these fruits. And thus James, here in James chapter 2 and verse 21, says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now there's something very significant about James choosing to refer to this particular event in Abraham's life. He uses the event where he offers Isaac his son upon the altar for Abraham to be justified. This takes place in Genesis chapter 22. You might want to look there. Genesis chapter 22. I have a reason for you looking back there. Genesis chapter 22, verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Now that's the event that James refers to when he says that just Abraham was justified by works. But I want you to see something. Would you agree with me that if something takes place in chapter 15, that's before chapter 22? It makes sense, right? Go back to chapter 15, Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. And what does it tell us about Abraham in chapter 15? He believed in the Lord, and he that is the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. Now, Abraham has already believed unto justification in chapter 15. So in chapter 22, he doesn't have to believe unto justification again. What's taking place in chapter 22 is the work of faith that comes after the profession of faith, the evidence that his faith is real. So that this justification that James is talking about in James chapter 2, referring to Genesis chapter 22 and not to Genesis chapter 15, is not the justification for salvation. Abraham was justified for salvation back in chapter 15. He didn't need to be justified again for salvation in chapter 22. James has to be talking about a different kind of justification. In other words, when he says in James chapter 2 and verse 14, it's one thing to say you have faith, it's another thing to have evidence that your faith is real. And therefore, James is saying, Abraham is justified in saying he has faith because the evidence is there. What good are empty words? James chapter 2, verse 14, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? There must be evidence to show that a man's faith is real. And so he says in verse 18, James chapter 2 and verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And it's not just enough to believe that God exists. In James chapter 2 and verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Without a demonstration of faith in the life of one who professes it, an empty profession is no faith at all. So he says in verse 20, James chapter 2 and verse 20, wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works, that is, without evidence, a professed faith without evidence is dead. And here's, I think, a real clincher of the difference between what Paul talked about and what James talked about. Hold your place there in James chapter 2 just for a moment. Go over to Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The justification that Paul talks about is in the sight of God. But look at James chapter 2 and verse 18. James says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. This justification is in the sight of men. Justification for faith, to be born again, is in the sight of God. But the evidence of a person's faith is demonstrated for people. The point, therefore, is I am justified in saying I am saved because you can see my obedience to the word of God. That's why in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 12, God said, now I know. The evidence is there. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. verse 8, and see three things about the faith of Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. I don't know if you noticed, but when we were reading the scripture earlier in the service, in the end of chapter 11, Abraham's father took his family with the intention of going ultimately to the land of Canaan, but never got there. They got stopped along the way. And so when Abraham's father dies, God says to Abraham, it's time for you now to go to where your father intended to go. They'd never been there before. They had no idea what lie ahead. Maybe that's what made them hesitant to go, especially the extended family. Abraham's father wanted to go to this distant land, strange people, strange customs. Why would we go there? But God says to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 in verse 1, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And it simply says in verse 4, so Abram departed. Now, Abraham could have had an entirely different response. He could have said, God, I really like your message. Brother Warner, did you ever have somebody go out the door and say, I really liked your message? And you wonder whether or not it really had any real effect in their life or not. God, I really liked your message. I believe that you want to bless me, and it's so wonderful. So wonderful that you would offer me a special place. And I thank you for wanting to give me lots of children and make my name great in the earth. Then he looks at his wife, and she's getting older, and she's never had any children. Abraham says, thanks, but I think we'll stay right here. In that case, would Abraham have been a real believer? What was Abraham's response? He didn't say a word. He just obeyed. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what he was going to find when he got there. It didn't matter. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Then verse 9 in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange country. Sojourn. You know what it's saying? He stayed there. It took his faith to stay there. He was in a strange country. Nothing was normal. Nothing was familiar. Nothing was easy. He had to fight enemies. He had to rescue Lot. He had to fend off kings making overtures towards his wife. He had to defend wells that he had dug. He had to wait long years for God to give him a son. Nothing was easy. But because of his faith, because he believed God, he stayed. Sounds rather simple, doesn't it? But it's not always easy to stay. Sometimes we want to get away from it all. Because it isn't easy. But if I believe God, and I am in the place where he wants me to be, I'll stay. I remember years ago when our daughter went to South Africa to be a missionary there. Remember that? And we had people say, "Oh, aren't you afraid for your daughter to go to Africa?" Well, we said, the safest place for any person to be is in the center of God's will. Abraham had all this trouble, but he was in the center of God's will, and so he did the hard thing. By faith, he stayed. And then verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, do you know what that sounds like to me? Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gate 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And who made this city? God did. Did Abraham know about the new Jerusalem? Sounds like it. How far in the distant future was the new Jerusalem yet to be as far as Abraham's life was concerned? We haven't even gotten there yet. But Abraham lived his life by faith, going where God tells him to go, staying where God tells him to be, hoping in what God had promised to come. It says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. These all died in faith, Abraham included, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them. Abraham's faith was real. Real enough for him to endure all kinds of challenges in his life. Real enough for him to hope and what God had promised for the future, even though it never came to pass in his lifetime. Is your faith real? Is there a work of faith in your life? Is there evidence that your profession of faith is real? You hear the word? You believe the word, so you do the word. Remember, James chapter 1 and verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Is your faith real enough that you are willing to endure even the most difficult circumstances of your life, trusting that it is all part of God's plan? Is your faith real enough that you can believe the promises of God to be true, and while you live out the circumstances of your life today, your eye is always on what God has promised for the future? Is your faith real enough that you can believe and hope in things like the rapture, even if they don't happen in your lifetime? Had a friend whose grandfather was a pastor in the early 1900s. That sounds like a really long time ago, doesn't it? And in 1910 and 1920, that man preached that he believed the rapture was going to happen in his lifetime. Here we are 100 years later, and it still hasn't happened. Do you still trust in the promises of God? Do you live with that hope in your heart every day? Lots of parts of life are not easy. But if we truly trust in God, He will carry us through. And if this is what God wants for us, it'll be okay. We don't have to have a government that makes all the right laws. There are many people maybe fearing that that's not going to be the case very soon. It's okay. If we trust, if our faith is real, our faith will carry us through. We'll handle the hard parts. And we'll hope every day in the promises of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your promises. And thank you for a man like Abraham. His life wasn't easy. He had a lot of challenges. But he believed. He really believed. There was evidence in his life. There was strong evidence in his life that he really believed. Help each of us to look internally and find within ourselves that evidence that our faith is real. And Lord, if there's anyone here that has made an empty profession, help them to make sure their faith is real. To believe in their heart that Jesus died for them and rose again. And to see the evidence of that faith in their lives so that they may have a real faith to trust in you to carry us through whatever may come. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.